the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Well, we hope Joe will come back to us soon. But in the meantime, you've got me. This is young Dr. Mike Roizen. And we have a set of incredibly interesting stories still to cover in the top medical news of the week. For example, got a minute? Let's work out. That's one of the questions asked by one of our readers. What did I mean by that? Well, this is a really very, very interesting study. It's a single minute of intense exercise that is embedded within an otherwise easy 10-minute workout. Improved fitness and health dramatically in these people. Just 1 minute. Really, it's 11 minutes. So there were 14 sedentary and overweight, but otherwise healthy, men and women. The researchers took muscle biopsies and measured their endurance over time, their blood pressure and their blood sugar levels. Participants completed 10 minutes of interval sessions on computerized stationary bicycles. Now, you don't have to do this on a bicycle. You can do it on a treadmill. You can do it running up and down the stairs at your home. What it was is 3 20-second all-out intervals followed by 2 minutes of slow, easy pedaling. So you pedal slowly in a warm-up for, I believe the warm-up was 2 minutes. Then you do 20 seconds intensely. Then you do 2 minutes slowly, another 20 seconds intensely, 2 minutes slowly, 20 seconds intensely. That's 320 seconds intensely. You've now done 9 minutes, and then a cool-down period, which was 3 minutes. The volunteers completed 3 of these sessions per week. So it's 12 minutes, but it really is 2 minutes of warm-up, 20 intense seconds, 2 minutes of regular bicycling, 20 intense seconds, 2 minutes, 20 intense seconds. So 320 intense seconds, and then 3 minutes of cool down. Total time, I believe that is 12 minutes, unless I'm miscounting. And in that 12 minutes, you get 1 minute of intense exercise. They did it for 6 weeks. And what happened? The men and women increased their endurance capacity by an average of 12%, a significant improvement, had healthier blood pressures, healthier levels of biochemical substances, which include their ability in their mitochondria to produce energy, lower blood sugar levels. So they really had every one of the indices from Justin, and I think, as I remember it, it was... Now I'm going to have to look again. I think it was, look at the study. It was, they did this for 6 weeks. So 6 weeks, 3 times a week, 1 minute intensely embedded in a otherwise relatively easy 12-minute workout, 20 seconds, 3 times. And this seems to be an incredible benefit. So the point is that time constraints, how limited you are in time, should not influence whether you can do exercise or not. So that's really a remarkable finding, I think. Now, we're going to get to Gary Ginsberg in just a second. He's got a series of articles that are really good. ALS and living near lakes. There are clusters of ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease for people who live near lakes. And the big question is this due to blue-green algae? We're going to find out from Gary. And did the Japanese get it right? They have banned e-cigarettes over cancer concerns. Is that right? Don't they have regular cigarettes? Yeah, they do. And do they think e-cigarettes are worse than regulars? It's tough to say that they're worse than regulars, but maybe they just don't want to increase e-cigarettes because kids use those often frequently, and maybe they're trying to avoid infecting or getting kids, if you will, infected with the tobacco bug. The third thing, the third item that Gary will cover is Russia's floating Chernobyl. Does radiation waste at sea threaten your fish dinner? And what can you do about it? What should you look for? And fourth, LA condos are being built really close to the highways. Is this bad for breathing? Or is Gary saying we've just overemphasized this as being potentially bad? There's also another interesting article that we quoted in the first hour. And by the way, we have 2 hours of this. Some stations carry only the first hour, some only the second hour, or sometimes you're away from your station. If you're away or you want to hear the other hour, by Tuesday of the week, they're posted, usually Tuesday afternoon, they're posted at Radio MD. That's RadioMD.com. The call words, of course, are RadioMD.com, but you can go look at the archives for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, all the shows back to 2001 are there. But this one, this story is important in that BPA that mothers have and that all of us had is associated with increase in blood pressure and phthalates that we've talked a lot about. You really don't want to drink out of plastic, but it's numbers 3, 6, and 7, as I believe it, 3, 6, and 7, are high in phthalates usually, as well as a lot of products you use at home. The pregnant ladies who had the highest levels of phthalates had kids that subsequently had an IQ drop of about 6 points by 7 years of age. Six or seven points in IQ is huge. It's what you get as a benefit if you take DHA during pregnancy, those prenatal vitamins with DHA rather than regular vitamins. Prenatal vitamins with DHA, one of the excesses, extras, is that DHA, and that improves the kid's IQ and functioning and memory by about the equivalent of 6 points. This decreased it, that is, phthalates decreased it. So when we come back, we're going to talk with Gary Ginsberg about those stories. One top story, in addition to the Got a Minute, Let's Work Out that caught my eyes, is that women are now using the most effective form of birth control. This is, I think, really an interesting story because I was unaware of the benefits of different forms of birth control. You can guess. What is the chance that you have a failure rate with condoms? Well, you know it's pretty high. It's 18%. What about with the standard birth control pills? And what about intrauterine devices and hormonal implants? What are those? Well, it turns out intrauterine devices and hormonal implants only have a failure rate of about 1%. The pill has a failure rate of about 9%. Condoms, as we said, 18 to 20%, even if applied correctly. And women have 61% of women, 15 to 64, who used contraception in the United States, and most of those are now using the best form of contraception, that is the hormonal or intrauterine device implants. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Gary Ginsberg about his top stories. ALS, I can't wait to find out how good the data is on ALS and blue-green algae, because there are a lot of blue-green algae now in water supplies on the Great Lakes, and there are a lot of cities on the Great Lakes, and they're also in a lot of other lakes and reservoirs and non-reservoirs, and we're going to talk about the difference between lakes and reservoirs in where you get your water supply and how much blue-green algae and why the blue-green algae might cause this with Gary Ginsberg. We've got some more questions on grain-free. If you want to find out about grain-free, for people who listen to us in the first hour, you can go to deliciouslyorganic.net, deliciouslyorganic.net, and talk to Carrie Vitt via email and via web and chat, and she'll tell you more about Deliciously Organic as well as a grain-free diet. You've been listening to, and we hope you'll continue listening to, this passionate show about how you can stay well. Gary Ginsberg is up next, my favorite segment of the whole show, because I learned so much from Gary. And his website, by the way, is whatstoxicwhatsnot.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. Stay well.
Itching, pain, and soreness during sex? General feelings of vaginal discomfort and dryness? You are not alone. Vaginal dryness is a very common condition that can profoundly affect your everyday life and your sex life. The dryness you are experiencing doesn't reflect your desire to have sex. There are tons of moisturizers and lubricants on the market today, but who wants to put harsh chemicals down there? Prevalief Oasis is an intimate moisturizer with natural ingredients. You don't need to fret over the hazardous chemicals in Prevalief Oasis Vagina Moisturizer. It's paraben-free, hormone-free, fragrance-free, and rapidly absorbing. It provides immediate comfort and relief. You can find out more information on the Prevalief Oasis product and all the great Prevalief products at Prevalief.com, Prevalief.com, to stop your itching fast and find relief right now. Prevalief.
Each year, millions of people fall for dangerous fad diets and bogus weight loss products. Here's how to separate facts from fad. This is registered dietitian Melissa Joy Dobbins for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics with your Eating Right Minute. Fad diets give lots of promises and few results. Some are even dangerous. Remember these warning signs. A guarantee of rapid weight loss is a red flag. For long-term success, aim to lose about 1 pound per week. Never follow a diet that bans an entire food group or one that allows you to only eat from one group. Finally, there is no proof that eating specific foods at certain times of the day will help with weight loss. To create an eating plan just for you, see a registered dietitian and visit www.eatright.org. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Melissa Joy Dobbins with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
It sounds disgusting, but the average person has 160 varieties, 100 trillion bacteria in their GI tract. Some bacteria are beneficial, many are not. Undesirable bacteria can leave you feeling tired and sluggish and bloated. A simple solution, Natron's Healthy Trinity. You've heard of Healthy Trinity. It's the premier probiotic that's been helping millions of people with digestive problems for over 20 years. This powerful probiotic can help optimize digestion, promote healthy immune, colon, and liver function. And with a healthy digestive system, you'll gain focus and energy, and you'll feel so much better. Here's a special offer, 20% off a 3-month supply of Healthy Trinity. This is a limited time offer with a money back guarantee. Get 20% off right now. Call 866-4-NATRON or go to natron.com. Enter promo code RadioMD for the discount. Don't miss a single day without taking your Healthy Trinity. Natron.com.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Gary Ginsberg is with us. The best segment of the show. From my standpoint, I learned the most. Gary is a wealth and fountain of information that's really practical and useful. Gary, how do I stay away from blue-green algae, and why should I?
Well, I've talked a little bit about that on the show when we talked about Toledo, Ohio last summer and how the blue-green algae blooms in Lake Erie were contaminating the public drinking water supply for the city of Toledo. And, you know, it's not just the thought of drinking this cyanobacteria or this algae that would seem pretty gross, but this algae actually produces a toxic chemical or two or three or four that we use as tracers and find out that this chemical can actually contaminate the drinking water supply, shutting it down. So that's one reason, but a new reason that may be emerging, it's a little speculative right now, but very interesting research about lakes, ponds, estuaries being contaminated with blue-green algae, is that they may be related to the outbreak or a cluster of ALS, and that is the Lou Gehrig disease or the Stephen Hawking disease, if you recently saw the movie, in which it's this degenerative neurological disease that is usually lethal. Fortunately, in Stephen Hawking's case, it hasn't been. But the connection has been that there's been some clustering seen of this disease around water bodies, freshwater bodies and some marine water bodies. And the theory being, and it's right now, it's just a theory, but there's a shred of evidence here and a shred of evidence there, and if you connect the dots in a certain way, you can say that ALS may be related to blue-green algae, and that is because one of the toxins that's given off by blue-green algae is related to a neurological damage disease that you could prove in the laboratory, and is also related to a disease that was seen in the island of Guam, where this blue-green algae toxin led to, for the native of Guam, a neurological condition similar to ALS. So there is a few shreds of evidence, and so regardless of all that and what that theory may be and where that research may go, it's really important if you see a water body that's got, and this is usually a summertime phenomenon here up in the Northeast or in the Ohio area, if it's got any blue-green or green or blue or whatever scum on it, growth on it, surface coating on it that doesn't look like normal water, you don't want to swim in it. Number one, you don't want to eat the fish from it. Number two, until the fish have been checked out. And number three, you really don't even want your dog swimming in it, because we don't know how these toxins might affect a dog. And we know dogs drink a lot of lake water. So if you ever see that, you want to report that to the local authorities so that they can properly test the fish, test the water, see what toxin levels might be related to the blue-green algae.
Now, let me go and ask a little more questions about that. Is drinking it bad, or is just, in other words, swimming in it, you said, seemed to be bad. Is this because you absorb the toxin through your skin?
Well, swimming will get you some oral ingestion. There may be some dermal absorption as well of the toxins, but we know that swimmers will ingest some lake water or pool water. It's just inevitable. So yes, there could be some exposure that way. It is stable enough, some of these toxins, to get into fish. They think that contaminated shellfish may be neurologically an issue sometimes for people because of these algae-related chemicals that could get into shellfish even. So, you know, that's something that FDA has to test the marketplace for, and every once in a while they will find an outbreak of contamination that comes from natural sources that they have to pull off the shelf. But this is a largely unexplored area that we need more research around, and you as the swimmer, or you as the fisherman, or you as the dog walker can be the eyes and the ears for public health officials and say, you know, because it's warm out and because there's nutrient loads going into that lake, you know, we're seeing an algae bloom this month, and what does that mean for our health? And until we find that out, stay out of the water.
So this is really, to me, an interesting thing, because obviously all of the Great Lakes have a fairly significant amount of blue-green algae. Obviously, Toledo had a huge amount near their intake pipes, but all of the Great Lakes have it in the summer. And so one of the ways we can filter out at least the toxin that was worrisome in Toledo was to use charcoal filtering. Does that work on this, on whatever the toxin is associated with ALS, Gary?
The chemical is BMAA, and I do not know how it would be filtered out. So, no, that's a good question. I'll have to look that up for you, Mike. But the microcystin actually was not able to be filtered out, which was one of the problems. And so they had to wait for the algae in Toledo last summer. They had to wait for the algae bloom to die down. There was some rain events and cooler weather, and the levels dropped below a level of concern, but it was not able to. So they had to wait 4 or 5 days.
Will you look that up for, are you going to be able to be with us next week? And if you are, can you look that up by next week, or should we wait a little
while? Yeah, I will, the next time I'm on, for sure, yeah, I will talk about the MAA and whether it's, one of the concerns is that it may become airborne, and there's really no data. That was speculative. If people read that article, I would say don't go crazy worrying about breathing the air near a lake because of this airborne chemical, because there's really no evidence for that yet.
How about Russia's floating Chernobyl? Does radioactive waste at sea threaten your fish dinner?
Right. This is a fascinating story. Now, when I first read this article, I thought maybe that the remains, the spent reactor core from Chernobyl was loaded onto a boat and put out at sea. But no, that's not what we're talking about here. We're mostly talking about Russian nuclear submarines. And when they have gone offline, some of them have just ended up at the bottom of the Bering Sea off of Russia and present a potential future radioactive risk, because as the salt water corrodes the shell of these things, it may start releasing the cesium and the strontium and other radionuclides that a reactor runs on and generates. And so they loaded up a boat in 1991, a floating, what we're calling a floating Chernobyl, and that is a bunch of spent reactor material from submarines that they decommissioned, and they didn't know what to do with. So, you know, what we tend to do in this country is like we look at Yucca Flats. You know, we look for a place out in the desert where there's no water, no weather is going to get into it, and it's in some secure vault, or we leave it on site at our existing radioactive plant. A nuclear plant where it could be secured underground, but away from sources of water. And the Soviets have been floating a boat with huge amounts of radioactivity that, if that boat sunk, would, you know, theoretically spew it into the ocean. So, fortunately, they have announced, much to the relief of the European Union, that this coming summer they are going to decommission this boat, tear it apart, and get rid of all the radioactivity on land. They're going to deal with it on land. So that's a relief. But there still are these relics, these buried subs down in Arctic waters that, if that radioactivity ever gets out, would affect the fish that people, these are fishing grounds that Europe feeds off of. And so there is some sediment monitoring. There is monitoring the area for radioactivity. So far, there haven't found any major leaks. We think of Fukushima when we think about radioactive fish, and so far there hasn't been any real concerns there.
Gary, can you stay with us? Gary, can you stay with us after the half hour for about 5 minutes?
Sure.
Great, and we'll cover the rest of these, as well as the rest of this story about Fukushima and fishing on the Pacific Coast as well. You've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with the great Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions of Americans whose thyroid gland isn't functioning the way it's supposed to? Well, now there's hope. Introducing Actolin. Actolin is a dietary supplement that contains 17 ingredients that support thyroid function, your adrenal health, your energy metabolism, and your immune health. Actolin's nutrients were handpicked by the renowned holistic practitioner, Dr. David Brownstein. And now, for a limited time, you can get a risk-free trial of Actolin when you enroll in our convenient SmartShip program and cover the first low shipping and handling handling fee of $4.95. That's right. Try Actolin as part of our risk-free trial and just pay $4.95 shipping. Learn more and sign up today at ActolinRadio.com. That's ActolinRadio.com or call 800-500-HEALTH. That's 800-500-4325. And mention promo code Actolin Radio. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
Can you tell if the surfaces in this kitchen are crawling with bacteria that could cause chronic arthritis? Listen. Can't, can you? You can't see it either. Wash surfaces, utensils, and hands frequently with soapy water while preparing food, especially when handling raw meats or eggs. Raw food may contain bacteria that can make you very sick or worse. 1 in 6 Americans will get sick from food poisoning this year, and roughly 3,000 will die. But you can keep your family safer by cleaning with soap and water as you go. Learn more about this and other important information. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. That's foodsafety.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
Only half of adults in the U.S. get the 2.5 hours per week of aerobic physical activity recommended for health benefits. Walkers are more likely to get the recommended amount. More adults are walking, but better spaces and more places are still needed. Communities can promote walking when they create long-range plans, such as master plans, and design safe streets for walkers. Communities can also ensure sidewalks and paths are in good repair and have easy-to-read signs. Employers can create walking programs, encourage walking breaks and meeting, and identify nearby paths or routes. Increase your physical activity by starting a walking group. Participate in local planning for walking paths and new sidewalks, or work with parents and schools to encourage walking to school where it's safe. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and we have with us the great Gary Ginsberg. We got him, we persuaded him with a lot of money and effort and love to stay over for the next little bit so we can cover the rest of this story and the other two stories. Now, Gary, you were talking about this Russian sub that presumably is leaking radioactivity or has the risk of leaking radioactivity in the Atlantic, and I guess that's where it mainly is, the Baltic and Atlantic ports.
Yeah, what about exactly, and you something called the Barents Sea, which is off of the north coast of Russia in the Arctic waters, that when those subs eventually corrode out, could spew a bunch of radioactivity into the fishing grounds and affect Europe's fish supply. So, and then I brought up Fukushima because
because of that accident, we've now cottoned on to the idea that we need to be testing fish for radioactivity. But it's just not being done widely. You know, I look at a lot of fish contamination data from things like mercury and PCBs, but rarely do we ever see any radioactivity data, cesium or strontium or other radionuclides tested for in fish. And I think that's going to be something in the future, in the soon future, that we need to be thinking about doing. And Fukushima has shown us the reality of needing to do that. Fortunately, the Pacific has not shown a lot of radioactivity coming from Fukushima getting into fish. Whether there'll be a slug of it down the road, we still have to monitor.
That, to me, the scary part is that a lot of our fish are now being threatened. What kind of fish are most likely threatened? Is this radioactivity because it's heavy metals go to the bottom, and is it the bottom eaters as well, like tilefish and tuna, or is it does it go to low levels on the top and we can get it from all of our fish?
Yeah, no, it'd be more likely to be in things like tuna, large fish that eat other fish and higher on the aquatic food web. You're right, heavy metals would tend to be something that's not real high in the water column, but would be onto particles and then get into the small planktonic species and then go up the food chain. So, no, if you're eating a small fish, it probably, or shellfish, it probably wouldn't be a big deal. But, you know, the bigger predator fish like a swordfish in the Atlantic or a tuna fish in the Pacific would be more of an issue. But so far, we don't have any evidence that those are actually radioactive. So this is something that needs to be vigilant in the monitoring.
Let's talk about the L.A. condos next. Talk to me about the L.A. condos. Why are they a problem? And it's beautiful to look at downtown areas, and there are a lot of freeways in the downtown areas of L.A. now.
Yeah. The L.A. is going to be the poster child for this because there's so much roadways and the developers are running out of nice high-rise locations. People are worried about skyline and their views also, the airspace around their apartments. And so the place where developers are freest to develop is right along the freeways. But that bumps into people like me who, you know, in the public health world, you don't want to be putting children and pregnant moms living right next to a freeway. They talk about putting in better air filters into these units, but as soon as you open the window or open the balcony door or go out on the balcony to have a cookout, you know, you're breathing in L.A., not only L.A. smog, but you're breathing in the closest, the freshest smog of all the particulates that are coming straight off the highway right onto your balcony. And I would imagine that there would be a pretty good buildup of soot as well on your windowsills living that close. So these are basically overhanging, just about overhanging the highway. I mean, you could almost, drop your cereal bowl onto a passing car. They're so close.
Now, they do this already in New York. They do this already in New York, don't they? I mean, when I've gone by the FDR, it looks like the buildings are reaching out to grab us. Is there a rule?
As a public health measure, you don't want to put children, you don't want to put schools, you don't want to put daycare centers, you don't want to put residential units that close. And so at least 1,000 to 2,000 feet away, you know, 1,000 feet is roughly, what, a fifth of a mile, is you know, the minimum that you'd want to put housing. And unfortunately, with, again, how expensive real estate is getting, developers are seeing that as a place to put people.
Now, the other thing, Gary, is there a standard, a building standard, for where they have their air intake for these high-rise buildings that are right next to, at least it seems to me, are right next to highways, and you spend all day there working, right? I mean, you're,
right. If you're in an office building with, you know, a major HVAC system, and where's the air intake coming from? It's probably coming from the roof. And the roof is going to still be very close to that highway. So that's not going to, I mean, it's not as bad as if the air intake was, you know, right from where the toll booth is, but it's still pretty not, it can be pretty noxious. And, you know, you can put some filters in to filter out the particulates. And in a major office building, they probably do a pretty good job of handling the air. But in residential condos, you don't have those kinds of industrial air handling systems to take out all those particles.
Now, do particles go up? In other words, if the intake is on that roof, I don't, do particles go up? I mean, maybe they do because you see smog above you.
Of course. Yeah, particles are so fine. And now, we're not talking about big, large-sized particles, because those will tend to hit a building and go wash down. We're talking about really fine particles that are microscopic in size. They will surround a building. They will envelop it.
Let's go up
on the roof.
Boy, you're giving me scares. Now, Japan did something maybe good. They banned e-cigarettes. Do they allow regular tobacco in Japan?
No. Yes, they do allow regular tobacco, and they didn't ban e-cigarettes, but the Ministry of Health in Japan just commissioned a study which carefully looked at a number of different brands of e-cigarettes and compared it to regular tobacco, because Japan is trying to figure out how to regulate e-cigarettes. And they found that the levels of acetaldehyde and formaldehyde, two carcinogenic aldehydes that come off the vapor, that come off these e-cigarettes, is 10 times higher than what's in tobacco smoke. So, and the levels of formaldehyde in tobacco smoke are significant. You know, it's when you get that burning sensation in your nose when you're around a smoker, that's the aldehydes. And so they're saying that they were able to measure 10 times more of those aldehydes coming off of e-cigarettes. Now, of course, the tar is going to be lower from an e-cigarette. There shouldn't be any tar coming off of an e-cigarette. So that's better than tobacco. But e-cigarettes, I've never been a big fan of them, because I think that they're not being used to wean people off of nicotine. I think they're being used to addict young people to nicotine, the opposite. You know, they do have a potential role if they were used as a smoking cessation tool, but they have to realize that they also carry some carcinogens with them, and these two 10 times higher than cigarette smoke.
We just had a half hour of the greatest in Gary Ginsberg. These are wonderful stories, great ideas, because you told us how to protect ourselves as well. The great Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com. Superb stories. Thanks. Connecticut is lucky to have you. We wish we had you in Ohio, too, to help us protect against ALS from the blue-green algae. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show, passionate show. We've got some great stories coming up. Stay tuned and stay well.
It sounds disgusting, but the average person has 160 varieties, 100 trillion bacteria in their GI tract. Some bacteria are beneficial, many are not. Undesirable bacteria can leave you feeling tired and sluggish and bloated. A simple solution, Natron's Healthy Trinity. You've heard of Healthy Trinity. It's the premier probiotic that's been helping millions of people with digestive problems for over 20 years. This powerful probiotic can help optimize digestion, promote healthy immune, colon, and liver function. And with a healthy digestive system, you'll gain focus and energy, and you'll feel so much better. Here's a special offer, 20% off a 3-month supply of Healthy Trinity. This is a limited time offer with a money back guarantee. Get 20% off right now. Call 866-4-NATRON or go to natron.com. Enter promo code RadioMD for the discount. Don't miss a single day without taking your Healthy Trinity. Natron.com.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things, and it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me. So I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We get it. Who wants to talk about vaginal itching and irritation? Vaginal itching, burning, and irritation can be very embarrassing to talk about, even to your gynecologist. Though this topic can be quite uncomfortable, this vaginal problem could be affecting you, just as it affects millions of other women. Thankfully, there is now a product that can provide you with instant relief. We mean fast, as in relief right now. Prevalief Soothe is a natural, paraben-free, rapidly absorbing lotion that is comfortable and soothing to apply. Prevalief Soothe uses a new, natural soothing peptide complex and is made with natural probiotic technology to support vaginal health. To stop your itching fast, visit Prevalief.com to find out more information and purchase the product for immediate relief from your feminine issues. That's Prevalief.com. Prevalief, for immediate comfort and relief.
I'm so glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case,
my arm is fine.
Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. As our beautiful announcer said, you're listening to RadioMD.com. And the other stories I wanted to cover are really the story about most women are using the most effective form of birth control, and that the U.S. is falling behind in health behaviors. We have these goals for our country for 2020 set out by the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, about decreased smoking rates, about decreased obesity rates, getting blood pressure under control, those things that are key for us getting, if you will, helping us manage stress. And what we've done is we've gone the right way in smoking. We aren't going to make our total. We aren't going to make our goal, I don't think. But we're getting towards it. The best of the states have. What are the healthiest states? Hawaii, Vermont, Massachusetts. Low rates of smoking, low rates of obesity, low rates of, if you will, using things that aren't healthy, and higher rates of flu shots, and higher rates of spontaneous delivery of children, etc. The least healthy states, well, if you were a company, you shouldn't locate in these because your health care costs are going to be higher. Mississippi, Arkansas, and Louisiana. So no matter what those states do to encourage you to live there, don't do it. If you're a company, I wouldn't put my company there because we base health costs on a geographic basis. What are the best ones? Hawaii, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Utah, Minnesota, New Hampshire, Colorado, North Dakota, and Nebraska are the healthiest. Now, let's go back over what's happened. In the last 3 years, I think it's 3 years, the obesity rates have increased from about 25% to 29.4%. That's not overweight. We're about 65% of us are overweight or obese. But frankly, obese, which is defined as a body mass index above 30, 29.4% of us. And that's with self-reported data. It's probably higher if you really had real data, because most of us lie a little bit when we're telling our weight to someone else. And it is obesity is going to overtake in the next few years. Tobacco is the leading healthcare cost. Tobacco costs about $250 billion a year to America. Obesity around $200 billion a year. And everyone pays. So if you're normal weight, you're still paying for someone who is obese, because that person will, in fact, have more weight in the costs. So they will, in fact, increase their cost to you, and you will have a higher cost, if you will, for the total, I don't even know what to say, the total medical care costs and the total productivity costs will be so great as everyone pays for. How much are you paying? You're paying roughly $1,000 extra in your health costs because of other people's, not your obesity. And for smoking, it's a little over that. It's about $1,100 a year. So $2,100 you're paying for other people's habits. How about physical inactivity? About $600. So $2,600 of your health care premiums are just caused by other people not doing the average in America amount of that. Bright spot, the number of Americans who smoke continue its downward trend, decreasing 3%. Immunization for adolescents was up 5%. Infant mortality rates have dropped 4%. But the obesity rates have now overwhelmed everything else and a health concern for Americans, and we aren't doing well with it. What about in birth control? Are women choosing the right thing? And the answer is absolutely. This is one of the most amazing things I didn't realize. But before I get to that, let me go to one other story on toxicity. Phthalates, that is, children whose mothers were exposed to higher levels of phthalates measured by the phthalate level after delivery. And these are common chemicals in consumer products. If you get something with a fragrance in it, make sure it is only essential oils. If it doesn't say 100% essential oils, nothing else, don't get that, especially while you're pregnant, because people with higher levels of phthalates, you get it from plastic bottles and plastic cans and other things like that. But the key is you get phthalates from fragrances more than anything. It turns out soaps, nail polish, hairspray, shower curtains, raincoats, car interiors, dryer sheets, they contain phthalates, plasticizers, and those were associated with a decrease in childhood IQ. That is, your kid has a lower IQ, and it's a big amount. It's 7 points at age 7. That's the same benefit you get from the DHA, that is the healthy omega-3 fat in prenatal multivitamins. So avoid this. How do you avoid it? Well, the mother's level of the phthalates is largely caused by fragrances and drinking out of bottles with the 3, 6, or 7 on them. 3, 6, or 7. So get it from glass instead of plastic. If you're going to get a bottle, get it a glass bottle. I know glass bottles can tip over and break. Still much safer for you and your kid and your future child than are the 3, 6, and 7. Now, other things. Don't take the receipts. Remember, they just have BPA in them, also associated with problems. Don't take receipts when you don't need it, and don't rub them with your hand. Wash your hands before you eat. Those are key things. And remember, from our guest also who talked about this, don't eat the dirty dozen unless you eat organic fruit and vegetables of the dirty dozen. And I don't have the list of the dirty dozen here, but it's apples and peaches, lettuce, celery, that type of thing. And I'll get the list for next week and read it to you. We're running out of time now, so I wanted to tell you key things from today. Sugar seems more associated with high blood pressure than salt. Only problem with salt is for those with salt-sensitive hypertension. If you've got high blood pressure, you go away from salt for 3 weeks. If your blood pressure goes down by 20 points or more on the top and bottom numbers, then you got salt-sensitive hypertension. You should worry about it. Everybody else, just worry about the sugar. Get your flu shot. If nothing else, this week, and you haven't gotten it, get your flu shot. It will help protect you, but more importantly, protect you against stroke, heart attack, and kidney failure. And remember, egg yolks, one a week, is bad for you, increases kidney disease. We'll be right back next week on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Thanks, Sonar, for great engineering, and our guests, Gary and Vit, Ms. Vit. Thank you again.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume to save on their very own USB drive. It's huge when somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Are you one of the millions of Americans whose thyroid gland isn't functioning the way it's supposed to? Well, now there's hope. Introducing Actolin. Actolin is a dietary supplement that contains 17 ingredients that support thyroid function, your adrenal health, your energy metabolism, and your immune health. Actolin's nutrients were handpicked by the renowned holistic practitioner, Dr. David Brownstein. And now, for a limited time, you can get a risk-free trial of Actolin when you enroll in our convenient SmartShip program and cover the first low shipping and handling fee of $4.95. That's right. Try Actolin as part of our risk-free trial and just pay $4.95 shipping. Learn more and sign up today at ActolinRadio.com. That's ActolinRadio.com or call 800-500-HEALTH. That's 800-500-4325 and mention promo code Actolin Radio. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
I'll never get used to these 10-mile runs. They are taking so much time out of my day.
Are you training for a marathon or something?
Diabetes runs in my family, and I heard if you lose lots of weight, you can prevent it. So I started running like crazy, and I cut my calories big time.
Oh, get real. You don't have to knock yourself out to prevent diabetes. My doctor said it's the small lifestyle changes you make that matter, because it's easier to stick to them.
Wow, really?